There are roosters in Cuba. I know. I heard them every morning. But it's not what you think. As I said to the kids, they didn't wake me up. I was already awake. I have this amazing inner clock. I figure in a former life, I must have been a rooster. Maybe because of all the roosters, the day starts early in Cuba. About 7 or 7:30, children in their white shirts and their gold or brown skorts or shorts were on their way to school. Sometimes I would go on the roof of the church and look down into the concrete courtyard of the neighboring elementary school as the children started to gather. And you know what? Cuban children sound a lot like American children. I'm guessing, but if the children were there that early, I would think the markets must have opened about 6 a.m. or maybe 6:30. People had to get their daily bread, vegetables, eggs, or meat. Many had done so as we arrived around 7 in the morning. In addition to those going to market, I would watch each day from the rooftop as street vendors peddled their wares, catching people's attention with a shrill whistle. Women walked to work. Children scampered to school. Men took their posts on the concrete steps or curbs in the neighborhood. All the while, dogs and cats ran up and down the street, taunting their compatriots behind fenced yards or inaccessible rooftops. Yes, they keep dogs on rooftops in Cuba. Each day was the same. The same dogs and cats, the same women, children, and men, the same street vendors, the same people going to market, the same vendors at the market, all in their same places, about the same time, doing the same things. Eggs and bread, Cuban coffee, milk and guava or mango juice for breakfast, beans and rice and salad, maybe some fried plantains or sweet potatoes, and some pork or chicken for lunch or dinner. They manage to keep life routine, and that was remarkable. Living in an apocalyptic city after the fall of the Soviet Union and over 50 years of an American blockade, with such a shortage of goods and services, that their lives could have such normalcy amidst rampant poverty, crumbling buildings, a struggling economy, and a deteriorating infrastructure is nothing short of a miracle. That they could do so with such joy and generosity is amazing. They have nothing. They share anything. They rejoice in everything. And they do so gladly. Of course, I can't speak for all Cubans. I can't even speak for all of those in the Presbyterian Church in Guanabacoa. I can only speak of those we met. But there is something special in those people. A brief visit is greeted with an infectious smile and tears of joy. A simple gift, like a chocolate bar or a picture, is a precious gift. They are people of faith. They are prepared to greet God wherever and whenever God might appear. Enduring over 50 years of a dictatorship, they have learned the art of watchful living. Daily they pray and read their Bible. On Wednesday and Thursday evenings, they gather in homes for Bible study. On the Lord's Day, they gather for Bible study and worship. Not just a few people, the whole church for Bible study and then worship. They minister to people with AIDS. They serve a meal to their aged neighbors. They distribute clean, safe drinking water. They sew lovely items to sell or give away. They endure, but are not defined by the challenges they face. They look like other Cubans, but live differently. They live in hope for a better day. In the care and commitment they show each other and their neighbors, not to mention strangers from a foreign land, they not only wait for that better day, they are preparing for it. They practice the art of watchful living. And they teach this faith to their children. Friends, we see this in America too. I'm deeply moved when I hear some of you share your prayers or tell of your daily Bible study and devotions. I'm grateful when you come to Bible study. The commitment you show to our ministry, serving in our various missions near or far, leading committees, driving an hour and a half round trip to sing in our choir, teach our children, share in our worship, or support any number of our ministries. Through your generosity of time, talents, and treasure, you make it possible for us to make a difference, even change lives for the better, loving as Christ loves. Beloved, like our sisters and brothers in Cuba, we face many cultural challenges. But perhaps the greatest is helping others, even our own children, learn this art of watchful living. Our text this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew and tells of the time to come when the Son of Man returns in glory. Like a rooster's crow, Christ calls us to wake up, waiting watchfully for his return. He says, but about that day and hour, no one knows. Neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. Jesus has come to Jerusalem for the last time. Looking upon the city, he weeps. His heart broken by the suffocating poverty, corruption of the righteous, and persecution of the prophets, Christ speaks to the future, foretelling the destruction of the temple, the suffering of his disciples, God's judgment upon the wicked, and the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus' foremost concern is the people's indifference to God. As in the days of Noah, he says, when people were eating and drinking, marrying and being given in marriage, going about their busyness and having the times of their lives without giving a second thought to God, so too, when the Son of Man comes in glory, will there be people living their lives indifferent to God. As in the days of Noah, when they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them away, so will it be when the Son of Man comes to judge the world. Jesus warns, on that day, people will again be going about their business, indifferent to God. On that day, two will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. So we must keep awake, for we know not the day our Lord will return. Jesus warns, our indifference to God has not gone unnoticed. Those who remain indifferent to God, those who do not understand God is present and active in the world, working to bring about salvation, those who fail to realize God commands their lives, will be terribly surprised. Jesus sees the connection. The cause of his weeping, the source of his tears, the poverty, the corruption, the violence, is all born in the people's indifference to God. Jesus warns, like a thief in the night, God will come to judge the quick and the dead. God will come to redeem those who wait for God. Therefore, we must stay alert. We must live watchfully, like the owner of the house who knows not when a thief is coming. We must stay awake, aware of God and God's claim upon our lives. We must prepare for the day when the Son of Man returns. We must learn the art of watchful living. Beloved, yes, God loves all creation, and God desires the redemption of every living soul. But we are not there yet. Christ still weeps. The suffering we see is the fruit of our sin and indifference to God. We must be changed. Our indifference to God must end. The good news is we can be changed. Ours is a God who brings new life. We can prepare for Christ's return. We can learn the art of watchful living. Last Sunday, I had the privilege of preaching with our sisters and brothers in Cuba. They are quite frightened by the results of the election. I shared with them my sense that in America it wouldn't have mattered who won. There would be those afraid for our future. I shared with them as well my belief that we could look to them, our sisters and brothers in Cuba, with hope. The lectionary passage that day spoke of the destruction of the temple and the trouble the disciples would endure. They would be arrested and persecuted. They would be handed over to religious authorities and political leaders. They would be forced to stand before their accusers. They would even be betrayed by family and friends. All would be hated because of their love for Jesus. Some would die. As difficult as their time of tribulation would be, Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid." My friends, though there is still struggle, turmoil, and chaos, though God's people continue to face times of tribulation, we may live with assurance, confidence, conviction, and courage. God will have the last word. Jesus tells his disciples to take advantage of this apocalyptic time. This time of tribulation, he says, is your time to testify. Standing before your accusers, speak God's truth to their power. Trust that Christ, through the power of God's Holy Spirit, will give you words of wisdom. Even catastrophic times are a time to testify. Our sisters and brothers in Cuba have been doing this for generations. Amidst the turmoil of the Cuban Revolution, the American embargo, and the Soviet occupation and collapse, our sisters and brothers in Guanabacoa have maintained a faithful witness through it all, caring for the poor and infirm in their community. They are able to do this because long ago they learned the art of watchful living. Living their lives, going about their business, but keeping their eyes open, staying awake to the moments when Christ disrupts their lives and invites them to share in God's saving work. Friends, we can gain perspective from our sisters and brothers in Cuba. I have no idea what our nation's future holds. Social media is rife with rhetoric. Divisions run deep. Anxiety is high. Fear is the order of the day. But might God be providing us an opportunity to testify in this time of turmoil? Not with reactionary responses for or against Mr. Trump. Not with our traditional party lines, be they progressive or liberal or conservative. But with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the hope of those who have learned the art of watchful living. Beloved, stay awake. This tumultuous time is our time to show the world God's love. For though we know not the hour or day Christ will return, we know what it means to share his love in the meantime. Thanks be to God.